The views expressed on community issues and missions are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the board or the staff of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio.
Welcome to Community Issues and Missions. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio is proud to provide a servant's heart time where we recognize local people who are addressing issues that impact our central Pennsylvania community. People tackle the problems and do their best to take corrective actions to make our lives better.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to this week's edition of Community Issues and Missions. It's great to be here with you again. I am your host, Jeremy Ross. It is the beginning of the month of April, just starting the spring season off here. And for those times, I have my FFA friends with me. So I've got a pair. I haven't been here for a little while, I think, for the both of you. I've got Jenna Harnish, the state president for this year. And I've got Abby Yoder, who is the treasurer. How are the both of you doing?
Oh, just peachy. It's spring now, finally. The snow has melted, even though we have some rain, but I'd rather have rain any day compared to snow, so.
Yeah, true.
Very true. Yeah, very well. This year's flying by, so I'm excited to see what April brings.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's as time always moves by very quickly. It's starting to sink in again already. It's like you're about three quarters of the way through your year.
Mm-hmm. It's very bittersweet, bittersweet.
Yeah, I can understand that feeling, because eventually the year will be up and then you'll be moving on to your college time and the continuing of what you guys want to do. So I'd be interested to see how the year continues going. So since we're here in April and our last program, we had talked about SLLC, especially in terms of sort of as if it was still happening, considering on when we had actually aired the program. Mm-hmm. But that's a big one that we definitely want to cover for this program. So whether or not you want to start with that or some other things that happened in the past month, I will hand the mic over to you guys, so to speak, and allow you to launch right in.
Yeah, we can start off with a recap of our SLLC. It is our annual State Legislative Leadership Conference. And for 3 days, members from all over the Commonwealth call Harrisburg home. Actually, this year, 80 different chapters were represented, and that is our largest number in chapter attendance ever for the conference in the 32 years that it's been hosted. So that was tremendous. And this type of conference focuses on two things: one, legislation, and two, community service. Abby can talk a little bit more about the community service portion here soon, but the legislation piece. So each year, all seven state officers pick six current bills that are being debated within the Pennsylvania House of Representatives and the Pennsylvania Senate. This year, the six bills focused on education, agriculture and rural affairs, and game and fisheries. So each of the members get divided up into the majority and minority, into the House, Senate, and then we have caucus meetings. We come together as one large group, and we go through the full motion that these bills would actually go through in, say, the Senate, you know, the debating, the amending, you know, in your caucus meetings, so on and so forth. And they really get a feel for what a day in the life would be like for a politician.
Yes, it was a great time. We had great groups. We got to actually pick representatives from those groups to be our chair and secretary, so that was a great opportunity for those students as well. As far as community service, I thought it was a great year in the outcome that we had. We had nine buses, do you remember exactly?
Nine buses, about 16 different community service locations.
Which was great. We had a total hours of
1,985.
Yeah, so we had probably close to 400 students on Monday afternoon head out into the Carlisle area and spend 4 hours completing community service, which benefits not only this local community, but also these members in their experiences in life and their FFA journey. So it was an awesome impact that we made here.
Yeah, we got a chance to experience that firsthand because we had a few of them come right here to the radio station to do a little bit of work, which is also part of the reason why you as listeners obviously can't see this, but we were able to restructure our production room to be able to accommodate more people for a recording, and that was partially due to some of the FFA students coming around and helping us to get some stuff cleaned out and reorganized. So
yeah, we're happy to help anytime.
And I wanted to ask now, jumping a little bit back to the legislative portion of this event, Were you guys as state officers able to participate directly in those debates, or did you guys have to like jump around to other stuff?
I would say in participation a little bit half and half. Like we had to be the chairs, so we had to be the moderators and, you know, monitor discussion, make sure everything's staying on point and making sure it's meaningful. We couldn't really have opinions. Like we could obviously speak about both sides of people's opinions. So if one person brought up one fact, we could speak to the other side. But we couldn't really be biased, and we just had to serve more as moderators. But we were there the full time with them, you know, every hour, every minute, every point that they brought up, we were right there along for the discussion.
Okay, yeah, because I know the students really get, like, kind of what you had said, the ability to dive right into it. Because it was interesting then being able to be a portion at the very end of it there with the breakfast itself, which we'll get to in a second, and just talking to a few of the students that were there and getting their perspectives on what they had thought of going through that entire process. And by and large, the big appreciation that they get for the legislative process that's in our government, realizing that there is a lot that goes into it and a lot of back and forth to be able to really come to any type of consensus on what you want to do with any type of bill that comes on the table for anything.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of recognizing other people's viewpoints and also standing strong for your own viewpoints, but remembering what's the best for the people of the Commonwealth at the end of the day.
Right.
It also puts a great emphasis on the time it takes for these bills and for laws to go into action, because they saw, you know, with their own eyes that we're going to debate this, we're going to amend this, we're going to take this to a large group and talk about it, and then we're going to take it back, and we're going to do it again, we're going to change it, amend it, debate it again, and then we're going to take it back to a large group. So it definitely shows the time frame and the commitment that it takes for our legislators to put bills and laws into action.
So it's like just those moments that you think, it's like, all right, we've got it, we're good to go, and then you take it back. No, it's not as simple as
not
that.
Not quite.
But the fun part about that, too, was the fact that not only did the officers get to, or I mean, not just you guys, but all the students, but not just did everybody get to really debate the bills, but they also then got the opportunity at the very end to be part of a culminating breakfast that even had some of our legislators as they stand right now. So talk a little bit about that, because we were able to be there as well. And so I can think of it from the perspective of how it was for me, but obviously for you guys, it was different.
Mm-hmm. So yes, as I said, this conference is 3 days long. It starts on Sunday, ends on Tuesday. And Tuesday morning, we wrap up with what we refer to as the State Legislative Leadership Breakfast. So in that, this year we actually had, correct me if I'm wrong, Abby, close and over 60 legislators from the House, Senate, their staff, come to the breakfast, meet with the over 400 members, their advisors, our parents, some of us came, as well as community service hosts, gracious, that they are so willing to help us out year after year. They all got together at the Radisson Hotel in Harrisburg, and we just celebrated what we did, and we talked about the legislation. Secretary Renning came and spoke. Executive Deputy Volkman from the Department of Education came and spoke, as well as two of our great partners, Mr. Sam Kiefer from the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau and Mr. Daryl Curtis from Ag Choice Farm Credit. So we all came together, and then the members were each sat at a table for breakfast along with one of their local representatives or senators. So that way they were able to talk one-on-one about what is currently going on in the House or in the Senate and really kind of bring that full circle aspect to it.
And that breakfast is really, it's a great motivator for our the students and the members that are attending, because we started last year what's called the Founders Award, and this award was created by Samuel Hayes Jr., who's a former Secretary of Agriculture and was used to be in the House of Representatives. And this award, he gives one, it's a big trophy, looks like a giant bird, a giant eagle. He gives it to one student from the House and one student from the Senate that are voted on by their peers for being an outstanding member during the caucus meetings, showing great participation. So we also got to give two of our members that award at the breakfast, which gives some motivation to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I had forgotten that part, because I remember sitting there and watching that part and seeing those awards. I was just like, Now that's an award.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
they were very heavy. I got to carry them in.
They looked heavy. Yeah. So that was fun to see that portion of it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this breakfast just really helps for those legislators who maybe didn't grow up in a rural community or didn't grow up with a school that has agriculture education and FFA as part of it. So it gets to bring so many members together, representing agriculture, which is Pennsylvania's number one industry, and then their favorite thing, legislation, brings it all together and just really, makes it a good time for everyone.
And we had been trying to figure out ahead of time how many people had been, for those of us here at the station, mm-hmm. we've been trying to figure out how many people were there as a whole. About how many were there in total?
There are over 625 people there total. There are 63 round tables, and there are about 8 to 10 people at each table. So it was a great outcome. It's actually a record-breaking number.
Yeah, because I remember trying to do the math a little bit, because in walking around a little bit, I couldn't see the entire room, and I was looking at the table numbers, and I was seeing, okay, I think I saw up to maybe 43, mm-hmm. and then trying to think, okay, at least 8 people to yep. a table on average. So it was man, there's a lot of people in here. So you guys really, really did well on that one as far as turnout.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So that was a really interesting experience to be a part of, and I'm great that it went, very happy that it went well for all of you. And now, since we're into the last couple months of your guys' year, as we were saying earlier, there aren't too many major events that are coming up. You've got a few things, but the next one that's coming up, talk about what's going to be involved with that.
Yeah, so next we are going to actually be getting into our chapter banquet season. If anyone had tuned in to the beginning of our year, you'd heard a lot that all of our officers were going to chapter visits in conducting mm-hmm. leadership workshops. So now it's our job and our role, and Jenna can explain a little bit more about this when I get done speaking, but we actually now get to go back to those chapters that we visited before, and we get to check out their banquet and see what they're doing. So Jenna, if you want to talk about what we do at the banquets.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So a lot of times the teachers, because at the banquets, just in case you might not be familiar, is really the part of the year where the members get to recognize each other, teachers get to recognize outstanding members, just give, everybody deserves an award at the end of the day, no matter what they've done, for because each member is outstanding in their own field. And a lot of times they invite state officers, like Abby said, not only to come back and revisit with those members that they met in the fall, build those relationships, build those connections, but also, speak about, bring a motivational speech or talk about how working together really does get the best outcome. So we really serve not only as that friend to build those relationships, but that motivational person as well. And as if you're a member and you just received this award, take this award and understand the amount of hard work that you put in to get here, and then never forget where your hard work will take you in life.
Right, because I was trying to think when you said about the chapter banquets themselves as opposed to the visits, because I remember you saying about how the visits are a lot of times dependent on when an individual chapter has the availability to, mm-hmm. Do the visit. Hence the reason it's so hectic, because you're all over the place. but then I was thinking, okay, so the banquets, if I'm understanding correctly, are sort of almost tying it back together, to give
yep.
back.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Yep, and it's really cool because, you see some of these members and you see them back in September, and then you see where they're starting, and you come back in the end of the year in April and May, and you see how far they progressed as a chapter and individually, which is just really cool to be able to, like you said, tie it all back together and wrap up the year with that. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm assuming that not all the chapters that you visited have banquets. Am I correct?
Not all of them. Okay. It just depends on how many. A lot of times, speaking, obviously I'm not 110% sure, but a lot of your CTE programs where multiple schools come together, typically they might not have a banquet, not speaking for all of them, just because there's individual schools will have banquets. But we definitely try to hit those individual schools that we saw all the members. We just try to hit as many of them as we can, whether we have 6 or 7 in one night and all of us are at a different part of the state, or there's 1 or 2 and then we go off in pairs. Just trying to, because banquet season really serves as our last time to be with members before we retire at state convention.
Right. And yeah, since we've got just a couple minutes left, we can tease the state convention prep and coming up, since that's one that's always interesting for me, considering I was there last year as well. So I got to see everything that was involved in that. And just one of the biggest standouts is realizing that how much you have to memorize for that. So I have to ask, have you guys started that process yet? Just thinking about it at all, or?
We've already had two team meetings. The first team meeting was just making a big giant list of everything that has to be accomplished for state convention to go well. And then the second team meeting was assigning everybody parts and portion, and the script piece has already gone into work. So for, if anybody's familiar with our annual Midwear convention at Farm Show, it's about a 2-hour long, you know, convention, and the script's about 30 pages. So for state convention, we have three of those at 30 pages each. So one person and multiple, everybody helps out, and we all write our own parts, and then we send it to the big script head person, I would say, and they have to put essentially together one 90-page script of everything, and then we all have to lock it in and do our best.
So this will be three times our Midwinter convention.
So we're all learning together, but at this point in the year, we can handle. I like to think that I can handle, or we can handle anything, so.
Yeah, because it reminded me of that when I was at the breakfast in the morning, because you had the routine that you guys had to do for the structure and, you know, formatting of the banquet and the, or of the breakfast, I should say. And that reminded me, I was like, oh yeah, that's, it's just the beginning or the preparation for some of the bigger ones that come on later.
Oh, we definitely have a lot of work to come here in the future, but we're really excited to see where it goes. And we know time's going to fly, so.
It's going to go so fast. With so much that has to get done, you'll forget to take in the moments of the days, you know. But it'll be all good. It's all good. So I'm excited for, as much as it, I mentioned, is bittersweet for us to be completing and taking off our Blue Jackets, I'm excited for the next round of members to have this experience.
Right. Well, it's been fantastic having the both of you here again. It's been great to hear about what has been continuing to go on, as well as getting your guys' perspective on, you know, the events and things that were just happening that we were a part of as a radio station as well. So, it's been a great program. Thank you for being with us. This has been a conversation of community issues and missions with Jenna Harnish, the president for the Pennsylvania FFA, as well as Abby Yoder, who is the treasurer for this year's group. And we will be back next time for our next edition. Until then, I'm Jeremy Ross, and we'll see you then.
Well, we thank you for listening today. Please pray for these people as they address the issues and mission efforts for all of us. We will talk to you again next week.